B-Pod Studios.
Felger and Mass.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah?
So sporty.
Oh, yeah?
Sports and sports and sports.
Oh, yeah?
Sports in your face.
Oh, yeah?
Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah? 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The TD Garden, our Star Market Broadcast Studios, where we're all Pats. Johnson just joined us in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll be giving away Patriots tickets at 5:30. Again, we took very few calls here for the last hour, so I promise we'll bang through them here real quick. What'd you think of Ted?
I'm glad he's back. I'm happy to see he's gigantic, for crying out loud.
Way too positive.
Oh, you know, I like the fact that he was willing to talk trash about current players. Usually don't get that out of these
guys. Oh, no, that's the beauty of him. He will call it like he sees
it. Don't worry, Mike. I have a negative Ted Johnson take that we can replay in the 5 o'clock hour.
Okay, yeah, we wrested some criticism out of him, so, you know, we'll replay.
Oh, I highlighted those. Don't you worry.
No, that's, we're going to pretend like that's all he said.
Good work, Jimmy.
But other than that,
put it in the process.
Boy, they're talking to Kevin Falk there. You're like, good God.
Put it in the processor and weed out all the fat.
It was nice and clean, anyway. Too. No hemming and hawing.
Back to your phones. Brandon in the car. What do you got for us, Brandon?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
I'm just going
to make this quick. I was just going to say, for the Pats to win, a while ago you guys were talking about, someone mentioned just establishing the run. I forget who you guys were talking about. I know he was referring to it as like jabbing them early, whatever. I think we got to establish the run early with whatever, Michelle, James White.
Okay, I'm going to cut you off there because your delivery sucks and your phone is mediocre.
If it's there, you do it.
Okay, I hate the idea, and I should have told Ted when he was sitting here, but he intimidated me with his arms. The jabbing them? Like, so what does that mean? Second and eight, third and seven, punt to jab them?
No.
Like, I hate that idea. I want points. I want points if I'm the page. If I'm anybody, I want points. I think that era in football is, I mean, I don't know, maybe it's back in the playoffs because defenses certainly have made a,
I mean, nobody got over 24 last week.
So maybe it's different in the playoffs. And so I'll just be fair. And because that wild card weekend, certainly the defenses took over. So maybe it is a little different. But I'm still of the mind that I'm sacrificing points for this notion of setting up the play action or jabbing them to, you know, like.
No, I didn't take it that way. I took it as, look, those guys are, you know, they are aggressive, good pass rushers. And the best way to get to some of those guys sometimes is.
Oh, yeah, run at them.
Make them defend the run, especially, you know, and I know they move around. But if I were San Diego, one of the things that would worry me in this game is, whoever's lined up with Trent Brown, if they're going to run, because Trent Brown's going to cream some guys in this game. Belichick was raving about his run blocking the other day, and he is a good, now Brown wasn't playing as well at the end of the year, but I do think that, you know, one of those guys up against Trent Brown on a run play, holy crap, he's going to flatten them.
Pete in Plainville, your thoughts?
Hey guys, it was just, I laughed out loud when Ted Johnson was talking about, you know, when he played and the Patriots now, like, when he played, the linebacking core was just absolutely loaded, so it's not even comparable.
The reason was silly.
But anyways, the reason I called, two quick points, one on the offense, one on the defense. The one Patriots have to stop is Ingram, because he can line up. I wonder if they're going to use him like they used Merciless in the Texans game a couple years ago, line him up over the center, just create havoc. And then the other thing, I know guys have been talking about Michelle. I'd rather see Burkhead more this game, just because the unpredictability of it. He can catch it. He can run it. Michelle's kind of a one-trick pony. And thanks, guys.
Okay, those are two good points.
Burkhead in the pass game, I have to say that.
We'll get to the Burkhead thing in a second. The first thing is a great point. Smart teams know you middle rush with Brady, right? That's how you always get to him. Get him off the spot, middle rush, pressure in his face. That's been the long-standing blueprint there. And to the point where the Texans got it a couple of years ago, they moved some of their good rushers inside right over, you know, in those A-gaps or whatever. And I think the Chargers should consider it, except that makes them even more susceptible to the run. If you're putting, you know, sort of more pass-rushing kind of types in the middle, that's even more of an invitation.
Well, then you do it selectively. You know, you do it in situations where you know they're probably going to throw. And so it feels to me like they move those guys around. Belichick was asked about it earlier in the week, and he said, no, they bounce those guys around. They'll run them up the middle, too.
Okay, Michelle or Burkhead, I'm sorry. Well, I don't think the kid's worth a first-round pick. You drafted him in the first round, so you think he's got talent. He's had 2 weeks to go. This should be a game where you're running. Nope. Let's see. Let's see what the kid's got. You know, let's see what you saw when you were scouting the kid and said that he could be this good and you drafted him where you drafted him.
I'll tell you what I don't want to see is Burkhead in the run game.
No, me either.
He's useless.
Yeah, that's where it's like, what does this guy exactly do? Okay, he's decent in the passing game, but he had a bad fumble, too, against Buffalo towards the end of the year, too. I don't know. I don't know what the hell that
is. That whole signing has just been like, okay. I thought there was a potential, you know, not to dwell on it, but I thought there was potential there for him to be a good Patriot, and he's been awful.
So, but you can throw to him.
Yes, you can.
And those,
in the right matchup.
And you can, you know, the Chargers do give up, you know, a lot to the running back. So that he'll be a factor in this game. Ryan and Sam, what's your thoughts?
Hey, I was just thinking about the Pats offense this weekend. And I think they have to get off to a quick start and maybe be creative. Like, why don't we see Tom Brady in the gun with Sony Michel, who is obviously just a runner right now. And then maybe James White on the other side of Brady and maybe that could spice things up and give up.
Okay, so I don't need to get into the pony formation with
no,
you.
No, so look, the one thing I will tell you is that if Michelle was able to catch the ball in college, okay, and I know the blitz pickup's a big part of it too, so if they're not comfortable with him back there in blitz pickup, I doubt you'll see it. But if he has hands, just because you didn't throw to him all year doesn't mean you can't throw to him now.
I mean, you talk about the thing like, you know, do what you haven't put on film.
That's what I would do.
Break tendencies. When's the last time, and again, the last couple of weeks,
he's got 7 catches this year, and the last one was like 6 weeks
ago. So this is what I was going to ask you. When was his last target? When was his last reception?
I looked it up earlier. I want to say it was like Tennessee. Like, it was a little ways back there. I'll double-check it.
I'm surprised even then. I thought it was going to be Detroit.
But and you know what? It was probably a nothing play in it, and who the hell knows what it was. But to me, that's it. Make Michelle, because they're not expecting that.
Right.
Hasn't been on tape all year long. They're vulnerable to passes against the running backs. And there is a tell there with the Patriots that when Devlin's in, they typically run. When Devlin, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So there's an advantage that you can exploit if Michelle's up for it.
Cam, what do you got for us today?
Guys, the reason that Brady's not throwing to Michelle is you realize they didn't share the field together at any point until the Jacksonville game, right? Because Brady missed all of the offseason, and then Michelle got hurt in the beginning of camp and missed all of camp preseason week one. Brady doesn't trust him because the first time they shared the same field together was in week two. So that's why he doesn't throw to
him. Right, and when Brady – I remember Brady tried to throw to him that game. Remember, it was behind him, and he went the wrong way, and it was all, you know, it was all messed up. So fair, Cam, yeah.
That's all
so there you go. Take of the day. That's right. Good for Cam. He doesn't give me a second take.
It was Minnesota, by the way. It was the last time he was targeted. A 7-yard reception, that's it.
I mean, so you want to talk about something they're not expecting. We've got Jason in Nashua. Hi, Jason. You're up next with Felger and Maserati here from TD Garden.
Hey, how you guys doing? I have two quick questions. One, the first one is, how much of Brady's development do you think is Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick? And maybe, I don't know, maybe other teams don't look at Josh McDaniels as a head coach because who knows how much is him and how much is Bill. And the other one is, I want to ask you guys, like you guys say, like when it's another running back, running, it's because of their talent. But when Sony does it, it's because of the old line that almost gets Brady killed once in a while, and it's not because of his talent or it's because of Devlin. I just wanted to ask you guys those. Thank you.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know if you're referring to me. I think all those guys are interchangeable. I think it's all about the passing game setting up the run and the offensive line opening holes. So you're not talking to me. I think you can replace one guy with the next and it makes no difference. Disposable razors, as I like to say. So you ain't talking to me. I think Michelle's like, I mean, I see some guys who are explosive. I mean, I know Zeke Elliott's better than Sony Michel, like he is. But.
Well, there are some guys that make people miss, kid in the Giants.
Elliott bowls people over, at least with Michelle.
Saquon Barkley.
Towards the end of the year, like he did do that a little bit more. You know, it's mostly been because of the offensive line. I'll admit that. I like the pick, but it's been about the old line.
I'll tell you what.
And Burkhead.
Michelle in a collision against any defensive player, I'll take the guy on D. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not telling you he's a wuss or anything of the like. I just don't see, like, the, you know, particularly in the playoffs, I'm interested in seeing how this goes. because I think there's a chance he's going to get the crap kicked out of him. It feels like there were a lot of games this year that, you know, he got dinged up or twisted a knee and he had to come out.
So the first thing, the teams look at Josh and say, it's really Bill, not you? Probably. I would. I mean, it is. It is.
Do you give McDaniels any credit for Brady's development?
Yeah, some. But
I don't.
Not a ton.
I give him none.
I mean, Charlie left in 04, so it's not like Brady, when Charlie left, it was after the 04 season. Josh McDaniels took over in 05, I believe. And so that was pretty early on. You know, that was Brady's fifth year. So there's been a lot since then. It's not like Josh just took over 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
He deserves some.
I mean, I just feel like the die was cast at that point. Like, you know, again, 04 was what? Brady had 5 years in the league under Belichick. To me, it's all Bill. All Bill, Bill, Bill.
We continue with your thoughts right after this.
The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Just curious if you're even aware that Philip never beat Tom Brady in a game that they both started, and what you think when you hear that?
You know, no, I was not aware of that, you know, but that's in the past, and that's what I think about it, it's in the past. I mean, that we have an opportunity to do it on Sunday, so let's make the most out of it.
That's Anthony Lynn on the Rivers, never having beaten Brady. I think it means nothing. I know Ted Johnson thinks it means something. I don't know. David Price never won, and then he won.
Well, but it also became a thing.
It definitely became a thing.
Right.
Like,
so
but
I think
he still won.
Well, right, right. So it doesn't mean the guy can't win, though. The question is whether or not it becomes a thing, and then all of a sudden it's in your head. And I can see that. But I also think it can be the kind of thing that motivates you. Like, that can go either way. So if a guy like Rivers comes in saying, you know what, I'm getting tired of this crap. I'm going to beat this guy's ass, and that's going to be the end of it.
I mean, that's what happened with Price or whatever the hell went on in his head in the ALCS in Houston. He was a completely different guy.
Because I think it does speak to sort of mentality that sometimes it's really just about being focused and applying yourself. So, like, I am interested in how the Patriots approach Rivers in this game tactically more than I am. Like, you know, do you think the defense is going to sit there and say, you can't beat Tom? Like, you know, they're going to be...
so, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't put it past them.
Well, no, there might be some of that, and there'll be a head game going on. Like, that's... But at the end of the day, it's going to be their ability to rattle them in terms of where's the pressure coming from, who's open, who's not open. I think, really, that's going to be the key thing. And I'm interested in seeing how they do that. Like... You know, the idea that he hasn't beaten him in seven tries. Well, so if he goes 1-7, does that make him good against Brady head to head? Like, you know, it's not going to stay winless forever if they keep playing.
Right.
Sooner or later, he's going to win a game.
All right. Ted Johnson said earlier that Belichick, and what he was doing was saying that, well, it started with the Hightower thing where Ted's down on Hightower and how he's played, and the whole run defense in general has been bad. But Hightower especially, who plays 74% of the snaps and ranks like 8th or 9th on the team in tackles, that shouldn't be right.
I checked it. It's 9th.
Okay, so he's 9th in tackles, and he plays 3/4 of the time. That's, you know, that's – I don't ever look at tackle stats.
I mean, it's a great point, though.
But it's a great point. Great point. And Ted said when he played, you know, Bill would bench you, sit you, motivate you, yank your chain back and forth, you know, and it doesn't seem like he's really done that with Dante Hightower. And he said maybe that's an example of how Belichick has lost his stinger, whatever that means. But I think Brownie in the car wants to weigh in on that point. Go ahead, Brownie. Brownie?
Hello?
You know, yep, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Two quick points that I really liked about Ted Johnson. Ted Johnson said the same thing about Dante Hightower, about how he's been underperforming. And he also said that Bill Belichick is a different coach now than what he used to be. So the point that I wanted to throw by you guys was, do you think that what Bill Belichick did to Malcolm Butler is something that he's going to do to Dante Hightower in these upcoming playoffs.
No. No. Unless Dante Hightower does what Malcolm Butler might have done Super Bowl week. No.
Do you think Bill has lost his stinger and that's why Hightower's on the field?
I think he has changed. So,
see, I think the bigger reason Hightower's on the field is, A, they don't have that many linebackers. Okay, and I know he also doubles as a defensive end. That's number one. And number two, I think that he does value Hightower's acumen. So that, how many times do you hear him say Dante's always in the right place? Or he knows the defense, he knows where to be. And hell, when they played Kansas City here earlier in the year, and Ted made reference to it, when it was one of the real first times we saw the amoeba defense or the use of it, Hightower got a pick. Right? I mean, he knew exactly where to be. Now, the ball was thrown to him, but nonetheless, he caught it and was in the right place. And I think that's part of it.
And also, Ted might be personalizing it a little bit because Bill was tough on Ted Johnson. He was. They didn't have it great, and Bill was hard on him. And so maybe Ted doesn't see that happening to the next guy at his position and wonders what's going on here.
I mean, the other thing is they gave him a truckload of money.
That they did, too.
So, you know, what are you going to do? Like, a year in, you're going to put the guy's ass on the bench and say, wow, what a mistake that was? I bet you Belichick regrets that deal.
Okay, Ed in New Hampshire, here we go again. Who the league wants? We're going to play this game? Go ahead. Ed, you're up next on InfoWars. Go ahead, Ed.
Hey, thanks. Quick question. Your screener couldn't answer it. So was it you idiots that said that the NFL is not going to allow the Patriots to win, Chargers to win this game?
No, we didn't say that.
We didn't say that, but that's a theory.
I alluded to it.
Well, I'll tell you, you alluded to it. Well, I'll tell you what, I was at Sports Clips and I'm listening. I thought it was you guys. And somebody says, well, the NFL will never allow the Chargers to win this game because you could end up with an LA Super Bowl. And I was thinking, so what are we saying? Is the NFL the WWF? What does it mean?
It means nothing. And I think it's all nonsense.
It's an LA Charger conspiracy. Well,
but it's also, and to be fair, it's also what one of the Chargers players
Russell
Okung, the tackle, said that he thought all those calls were going against him late in Baltimore because the league. And there was a bad holding call on Okung. I know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
That would have sealed the game on this run around the left end that would have ended the game. And
nothing to do with the play.
They threw a flag on Okung for holding, which was a horrible call. Now I know exactly why,
Yeah, it was that play.
He's all going to conspiracy theories because the call was awful. So now it makes sense to me while he's saying the league is fixing it because the league doesn't want the Chargers to host the AFC title game because they'd have to host it in a soccer stadium. That would be a black mark for the league. I think getting into this is just, it makes my head explode. It's like, the tinfoil hat thing. There's only one league where you need to worry about this. There's only one league where I think this does actually go on.
The NBA.
Okay? And it does make a difference. Because the NBA, there are tens of millions of dollars at stake. Whether,
series goes four games or seven or whatever.
And not just that. There's tens of millions of dollars at stake whether LeBron James is in the finals or some other slappy from the Eastern Conference. It matters to the NBA. It matters that year in terms of ratings. It matters in terms of givebacks to the networks. So the NBA has always, always needed stars and or big markets in the finals, and I think that there have been times where they have made it so. So I do believe in the Alex Jones conspiracy theories when it comes to the NBA. I absolutely do, okay? But that's the freaking NBA.
Alex Jones, the Patriots are controlling the weather, and that's why they want him to win. It's a false Charger conspiracy.
They're seeding the clouds.
It doesn't matter to the NFL whether the smallest markets are in the Super Bowl or the biggest markets. It doesn't matter whether there's a team with a lot of stars in the Super Bowl or no stars in the Super Bowl. It makes no difference. Look at the numbers. The ratings are always the same. It's always the highest rated show every year. It's always within 5% of the year before. It doesn't matter who's in the Super Bowl.
It's a perfect league.
So they aren't. It makes no business difference to the league.
That's what you want to believe, Felger. Look at the officials and how they officiated the AFC Championship game last year. One penalty for the Patriots. They do not want the Jaguars in the Super Bowl. It was a staged mind control operation.
But I would say that if they were to fix it,
those calls were dubious, by the way.
I think they want. I would want the LA teams in because I want to. They put a big bet on LA, and I would want to serve that market because they have a lot of money at stake and on the line in Los Angeles. So I would do whatever I could to help those teams. But I don't want to hear that from you if the Patriots lose, please. And I don't want to hear from the Chargers if the Patriots win that somehow they don't want to. They don't care about the soccer stadium.
Are you suggesting the league is sick of the Patriots? No.
Tom and Concord.
How could anybody possibly be sick of the Patriots?
Tom and Concord. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I just have three quick points, 10 seconds each, between Brady, the Patriots, and the game this weekend. I mean, Brady, when has he not showed up for the playoffs? I mean, he lives for this stuff. You know he's gonna show up. He deserved to win it last year. He put up the numbers. He put over 500. He deserved to win the Super Bowl.
Next.
And then with the Patriots, they've been in cruise control. Are you still there?
Okay. Yeah, why?
Yeah, all right, so the Patriots have been cruise control, and they beat the playoff teams, and they've lost to the crap teams. You're not going to get the Tennessee or the Pittsburgh team this weekend. And
third.
The game this weekend is going to come down to turnovers. I mean, if there's no turnovers, the Patriots are going to win the game. The only way they'll lose is if they beat themselves. Thanks, guys.
Okay, I'd say the same thing about the Chargers. If the Chargers, you know, turn into the Chargers, the San Diego Chargers, and start coughing the ball up and doing stupid crap, they're going to lose. If the Chargers are clean, they're going to beat you.
Patriots are cruise control. So the game in Pittsburgh, they didn't care about?
Well, the first two are so asinine, I don't even know where to begin. So now the Patriots take games in November and December off? Since when? Do you pay attention, caller?
No, they were in cruise control the last 2 weeks because they played the Bills and the Jets.
No, I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about Pittsburgh. I'm talking about Pittsburgh. It's a game you win every single year, but this year they were just in cruise control. This year, home field on the line, all that, they didn't. It was just slap it out there. You want to tell me they lost a game in September because they're on cruise control? That happens. Absolutely. The slow starting team always have been. By design, it feels like. December games in Pittsburgh, cruise control?
Yeah, no way. Please.
Oh, you child.
No. Please.
Second.
It's stupid.
Brady's going to show up because he always shows up. When has he not showed up for a playoff game? Do you really want to play this game?
I'll
find you a bunch.
Okay, so not shown up
is a different way to say than not played well.
Right. Like, I mean, I'm not worried about Brady not being ready for the game. I'm not worried about that. But there are a lot of playoff games. In fact, there's just about one every postseason that he doesn't have a good game. He didn't have a good game against Houston 2 years ago. Last year was the only postseason really in a long time that he had three good games. And we were talking about this earlier in the week, I think, where his rating was up over 100 for all three games. I don't think he threw a pick in the postseason last year. Otherwise, he's generally thrown one every postseason game.
And he's usually had one clunker.
Absolutely. You know, Baltimore here in 2011.
The Houston game he won, he sucked.
Oh, God, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of games. He played poorly against San Diego in 06.
Never mind. We've got information on free Patriots tickets coming up. And so I'll give you that after Murray's update. And after Murray's update, the Chargers have made a signing that, well,
interesting.
Is interesting. May be impactful, and we'll give you our thoughts on it right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, Felger, Mass from the Garden said we're going to talk about Patriots tickets and a Chargers signing. Patriots tickets come in an hour. An hour. 5:30. 5:30 for Patriots tickets. Just under an hour. So stay tuned for that. The Chargers signing is this. They signed someone today off the street. A rookie. They'd signed... Oh, no. I'm sorry. their rookie is their kicker. But they have signed Adam Schefter of ESPN reports. Why don't I quit fumbling around and just read it? Adam Schefter of ESPN reports that the team is signing, the Chargers are signing Nick Rose with the intention of having Rose handle kickoff duties against the Patriots on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So they have signed a kickoff specialist. I don't even need to give you the name. Could be anyone. They signed a guy just to come in, fill up one roster spot on the 53-man roster, after not having done this all year, just to kick off at Gillette. Murray, your thoughts?
Sounds to me like they're overthinking things. I saw this and I saw
like
it this morning. I'll
get to you in a second.
Of course you do. They're overthinking things, and even if they don't end up using them, they've now put it into their rookie kicker's head. We don't trust you on kickoff, so you're just asking for a ball to go out of bounds and give the Patriots good field position to start a drive.
I like it. I think it's smart. And so let me put it to you this way, Murray. Because, again, you're entitled to your opinion. I'm not dumping on you. I'm dumping on people like
I'm
you.
Used to it at this point. No. Just waiting for Friday.
If Bill Belichick did this, what would everyone say?
Not everyone.
Okay, I know. That's why I said I'm not dumping on you. I'm dumping on people like you.
No, most of the morons would be like, oh, see, he's always ahead of it. He's always thinking. Unbelievable.
Correct.
How great. Yeah.
Correct. You know that this is Bill Belichick leaving no stone unturned, going to every last detail. And I'll tell you what, I think it's smart. Because I think in this game, I think this is the kind of game that could come down to one play. I think that it's going to be that tight. I can't emphasize this enough. I've been saying it all week, and it's part of the reason I've delayed my pick. I think this is a nip-and-tuck game because I think that the fact that it's in Foxborough and the Patriots have had a bye mitigate some of the advantages that the Chargers have. And Cordarrelle Patterson as a kick returner is very good. He's fast. He can blast through holes. He runs hard. He can be hard to bring down. All true. So you know what the Chargers are saying? Our coverage teams have been good, but you know what? With this guy, it might not matter. We're going to kick it out of the end zone. I think it's smart.
I do too. I think it's a positive sign for them. I mean, what? So look, their kicker, the rookie. That's what I meant to say. The rookie, Michael
Badgley.
Badgley. That's how you pronounce it. Badgley had zero touchbacks last week in Baltimore on 6 kickoffs. Zero. He also only posted 9 touchbacks in 54 kicks.
Yeah, I was going to say it was like 9 out of 50. Yeah.
9 out of 54 over his entire run with the Chargers this season. The 45 kickoff returns were the most in the league, so the Chargers allowed more kickoff returns than any team in the league and had the lowest touchback percentage of any team in the league.
Yeah, see, so this is a team that sees its own weakness and says we're going to get rid of that for this game.
That's kind of smart. I mean, it feels like an obvious move, but aren't there so many teams that, you know,
would just come in here and kick it into the corner?
Yeah, or just kick it to Patterson and try and cover it. And, I mean, I don't know. That feels like an anti-tomato can kind of move. The tomato can ignores all that, says we're going to do what we do, we'll cover it, and then gets burned on it. The Chargers looked at it and said, wait a minute, you can't get the ball to the end zone. For some, you know, Badgley, as much as we like him, he doesn't have a big leg on kickoffs. This is one of the best kickoff returners in the league. We've been getting torched on this all season long. Let's do something about it.
Right, and the fact that it's going to be cold, the ball's not going to carry, so we're almost guaranteed of not getting kickoffs in the end zone with Badgley. So, honestly, I think it's a good move. I think it's smart.
This Rose finished last season with the Chargers and had 8 touchbacks on 9 kickoffs. He has not been in the NFL since being cut by the Texans at the end of the summer. Was he just a kickoff specialist last year? I don't even know.
No idea.
Don't know. But what the hell has he been doing? Is he in shape? How's the leg? Just feels a little bit desperate and drastic right now. If this was such a problem during the season, you would have addressed it earlier.
They probably should have addressed it earlier. They should have addressed it going into the playoffs.
So last year for the Chargers, he went 1 for 3 on field goals. And then he also spent time with the Redskins.
Helps plant a seed in this Badgley kid's head. They don't believe in me. They've had issues with kickers all year. This kid that I think they brought in only like 5 or 6 weeks ago. So now, you know, a little bit of disbelief inside of his head means a missed kick is coming.
But Badgley's still getting the field goal attempts. See, I don't see it that way. I think it's smart. Now, my concern, if I were the Chargers, would be, well, you know what? It's going to be really cold. Is this even this kid going to be able to get it out of the end zone? Like, let's find out. But to me, keeping the ball away from Cordarrelle Patterson, all it takes is one.
I just think it's a little attention to detail kind of thing that, I don't know, I think looks good on the Thursday. Let's see. Yeah, maybe the Chargers come here and crap their pants like everybody else.
It suggests to me that Anthony Lynn has a clue.
Right. It suggests that someone's paying attention and that there's a little bit of an attention to detail. That's what it suggests to me. I promise. Back to your phones. Long commercial segment. Got 2 open lines if you want to grab one of them. 617-779-0985.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things
things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, well, I mean, just as bad as we've wanted it every year. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, yeah, I think there's no denying you know that you don't have a ton of years left. But I mean, I want it for that, for our team. I mean, I want our team to experience and us to accomplish our ultimate goal. We haven't done it. Now, it's really not about me. It's about us, and it's exciting to have a chance. You know, once you're in it, you got a chance. Somebody's going to win it. You know, one of these eight teams is going to win it. So to have that opportunity, and again, to get a step closer now this weekend, it'll be a heck of a challenge, but we're going to prepare like crazy and be there ready to go.
Again, more from Philip Rivers there here on Felger and Maz from the Garden. Back to your calls. Raul in Haverhill wants to talk about Rivers versus Brady. Go ahead, Raul.
How you guys doing, gentlemen? Listen, I absolutely think it's ridiculous that people keep talking about, you know, Philip Rivers being 0-7 against Brady, Andrew Luck being 0-6, and Patrick Mahomes being 0-1. Let me give you an example. When Bill Belichick and the Patriots won in Denver a few years ago, Bill Belichick ended up saying, hey, listen, we struggled before against this team, but not this team, referring to that each team is different on a year-to-year basis. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think those numbers tell you how dominant you've been over those guys in the past. For sure. Accurate depiction. Just like your dominance over Peyton Manning over the years. How'd that work out for you in that AFC title game he was just talking about? Threw two touchdowns on you in the first half. One up, they never looked back. And he couldn't even throw then, and he still beat you. So what does it matter? Again, David Price was 0 for his life in the postseason.
No, it's not an absolute. And again, because look, ultimately you're going to get no absolutes. It's about the overall. Let's say Rivers, again, let's say he ends up going 1-7. It's the Patriots still have every bit as dominant as they were 7-0. So, like, I just, to me, it's you know, you take everyone individual. I really believe that. Like, to me, it's about the day, the situation. They're all, like, snowflakes.
To me, Rivers could crap his pants just because he sometimes craps his pants. Like, he does against everybody. I mean, there's a reason he's been to one conference title game. It's not all his fault, but he's part of it.
And the postseason, he feels like a bad pick waiting to happen.
Yeah, Ted even said it to us. You know, Ted said, I know Bill's in the meeting rooms right now saying, watch out, guys, he's going to throw you one. He's going to throw you one, and when he does, make the play. And Rivers is good for one like that. He's good for a couple of games where you go, woof. And so that's whether he's playing the Buccaneers or the Patriots. So I don't think it's an 0-7 thing. I don't. I would hate to think that he's still intimidated by, you know, Teddy's going to walk in and see the banners. I mean, if he is, then he's soft as crap. He's soft as little puppy poo.
I don't think this guy's soft. And look, just as a point of note, because we've talked about this in other years, Brady in his career, 37 postseason games, 31 interceptions. And last year, he didn't throw one.
He used to be good for a couple picks every postseason. It's true.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, he throws, you know, how many picks did he throw this year? 11? 12? Now he gets into the postseason. We think he's not capable of putting one in San Diego's hands?
Good job. Michael and Milton. Hi, Mike.
Hey, I just have to take issue with you guys constantly say that the receiver core doesn't really matter yet. It's not as good as it usually is, but he should be able to overcome it. Do we have every year, do we have 37 or whatever, 27 wide receivers come through Foxborough? I don't know that that's a yearly occurrence. And then as for Brady having the massive, massive advantage that he has, but he plays for the organization, of course he has, yes, an advantage playing for Bill Belichick. But at the same time, he also creates that advantage in a lot of ways. Like Ted was saying, that when he was a player, you know, the fact that Belichick went after Brady just as much as he goes after all those players, do you really think Aaron Rodgers would let Bill rip him at, you know, every practice and every game and just absolutely rip into him so that he could get, you know, get all the other players in line the way that he has. So I think that the advantage goes both ways with Bill and Tom. And I think Tom has done a lot of things to sort of manufacture an advantage for himself. I don't think he's just been given an overall advantage.
Okay, well, some of that's fair. Some of it's fair. The receiver thing, a lot of teams cycle through a lot of receivers. And I think his surrounding cast is good. It's not great. Some years it's great. Some years it's a little less than great. This year it's good. It's good enough for him to be better than he was. That's what I'll tell you. It was good enough for him to be better than he was. He ranked, would you say, 14th in passer rating in the league?
12th.
12th. So some of that's on him. I'm sorry. That's not all a reflection of his receivers. He had enough to do more than he did. And the thing about taking the coaching from Bill, you may have stolen that from me because I've been saying that for months, that a huge credit to Brady is that he took the coaching. And that Rodgers definitely would not have taken the coaching. A lot of guys wouldn't have. You think Roethlisberger could stand up to Bill Belichick?
No way.
Do you think Peyton Manning and his daddy would put up with Bill Belichick treating, Peyton the way he treated Tom Brady early in his career? No way. Brady deserves a tremendous amount of credit for working with Bill for as long as he has. It's a hard guy to work for. 100% agreed. But it's still about Bill. It's still about him being surrounded by Bill. So I just don't want to hear this thing that Brady's been put in a tough spot. You know, it's just ridiculous. He was born into his NFL birth was into the most solid organization in the league with the greatest coach. And he's had one playbook and one system his entire run underneath the greatest coach of all time. That is a massive advantage that no one else has had.
Born into the arms of Bill Belichick. Right?
Yeah, I think that tastes.
But look, see.
But what was his reputation at the time? Well, they built it together.
Okay, so that's true. I'm just saying in retrospect that's what it is. But that aside, like, I haven't been as down on Brady for the weapons as you have. To me, but nonetheless, he has enough though. I've said that from the very beginning. If they all stay healthy, if Gronk and Edelman and White and Hogan, they all stay healthy, they're fine. There's enough there for them to win. So I don't think Brady has played great this year. That said, to me, the single biggest difference in the Patriots offense from last year to this year is Gronk. He's just not the same guy. Now, I don't know if it will happen, in the postseason or not.
So what are the biggest differences in the offense between last year and this year? What's number one?
Gronk.
Fine, then Brady's second. Then Brady's second.
I mean, to me, it's Gronk. Gronk's just not the same guy.
I mean, Edelman's had some drops that are.
But they also don't have Danny Amendola. They don't have someone that got over 1,000 yards.
Right, but if you had to rate them, if they didn't have
Gronk's number one.
Again, you don't have someone with 1,000 yards. Who gives two poops?
It ultimately mattered. Yeah, I'll never. You know what? F me. I'll never bring up yards again, Mike. They had Eric effing Decker in camp earlier this year. The wide receivers aren't as good as you think that they are. They're not. The weapons aren't as good as you think that they are.
I forgot about him.
Yeah, everyone did. That's how bad it was. They brought in the corpse of Eric Decker this summer.
Yeah, and then when you look at the All-22 like Bedard does, you see guys open.
Yeah, at times he's missed Chris Hogan. So there was something going on between him and Hogan, or Hogan had been phased out, or whatever the hell happened there. So he should have been better. Yes, Brady had a down year. He should be better. Some of it's on him,
okay,
but
so
he doesn't have great weapons this year.
I agree. I didn't say great. I said good. Good enough. It's certainly good enough to be better than he was, which I guess we all agree with. Jerry on Cape Cod. Go ahead, Jerry.
You guys had a good discussion yesterday on the game plan versus execution, and you both came down pretty much on the side of having more confidence in the Patriots' game planning over execution. So I'm just trying to understand on what basis you reached that conclusion and why so. Because I see both of them as kind of equally poor.
Equally poor. I mean, how many bad game plans have they had this year? It's bad decisions. I mean, Gronkowski on the field at the end of the Miami game. Certainly there's. But how many? I don't know.
Well, so here's my logic for it. I'll tell you what it is. Game plans are about brains. And Bill Belichick, no matter how old he gets, unless, at some point in his life he can't, he loses his faculties, which I'm none of, just whatever. He's every bit as sharp now as he was when he was younger. Bill still knows how to scout. He knows how to game plan. He knows all that. Whether he's 66 or 46, it doesn't matter. In fact, at 66, he might even be better because he knows more. But the physical part of it, the players executing, some of that is physical. Is Gronk still the same guy? Is Edelman still the same guy? Is Brady still the same guy? Hell, all of it. Like, to me, that's why, the ability to execute comes down to health and talent and physicality, all of that stuff. The ability to game plan. Like, Bill's made his mistakes, but I'm still confident that Bill's as sharp as a tack and will know how to game plan for this game.
Update takes 90 seconds. There are no commercials, and we come right back with you.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.